Okay, so tonight's going to be a little different because it won't be a standard Bible study. We've just come back from the mission field in Mexico, and praise the Lord, it was really, really good. And so we're going to give you little pieces of it. It hasn't been rehearsed, so I'll let my wife start out first, and then Lydia will follow, and then Joe will give us something, and Jason, and then I'll wrap it up, and then we'll see some pictures together. All right? Okay. Do you want to take this? Wait, we know where Mexico is.
Listen, I didn't know where I was. Here, you were on the other side. No, really, I thought I was here, but I wasn't. Okay, this is Mexico City, where we flew into, and this is Toluca, the first city where we went to visit the churches and do the preaching. And this is Morelia, the one we came to after we went to the shore, which was this way. And now I see we went over the Sierra Madre, which are gigantic mountains, which, believe me, they are, and quite dangerous driving over there. So it was kind of southern Mexico. Everybody who comes back from a mission trip tells you that if you get a chance to go, you should. And you should. I agree with them. You'll learn many things, and I learned mostly about appreciation and appreciating things. Appreciation for the physical blessings that we have here, appreciation for souls, and an appreciation for the missionaries. On appreciation for physical blessings, now I know this is being taped, so I don't want to say anything wrong, but I have a new appreciation for toilet paper. Okay, because at least in the public places, it's a rare thing to find. And if you find it, you have to pay 3 cents for it, which is kind of funny. Here, when you're on the Garden State Parkway and you go to a rest stop, there's like four kinds of fast food and souvenirs and big, beautiful bathrooms. Well, there at a rest stop, there's three stalls, four kinds of bugs, a Coke machine, and the Coke is warm. So it's not the same thing at all. I appreciate plumbing systems, roads, hot water, any water. For a couple of days, we had no water. So you definitely come back and appreciate what you have. And we know we need to be content with our physical blessings, but it doesn't hurt to be reminded. In 1 Timothy 6:6, it says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." And turn to Proverbs chapter 30. Verses 8 and 9. It just reminded me of this. "Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, Who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain." The appreciation for souls was just kind of a renewed thing. I think because here in New York, when you try to witness to people or give them the gospel, they're very cold, they reject it, and they think the preaching of the cross is foolish. I think we start to get numb to the value of that soul. But on a trip like this, you see people more open, you get braver, and I think you come back with the courage to witness more in your neighborhood and to your friends. After street preaching, the ones who spoke Spanish got a chance to talk to a lot of people. Eddie spoke to a man named Miguel on, I think, a Thursday. And then Sunday, he came to the Sunday service, And he even got in the group picture. We took a picture with everybody, and he got in the picture. So maybe he's saved already, or he's going to get saved. And is the cost of this trip worth that one soul? In 2 Peter 3:9, can you turn to that one? It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So the answer is yes, that, you know, it was worth it even for that one. The trip also gave me an appreciation for missionaries. They do without a lot of things that we consider necessities. The Castillo family, they live by faith, and they receive only the collections that are designated for them in the San Antonio Church. So the amounts change. It's not like they get a steady paycheck. Occasionally, she told me that they have to sell clothes or even some furniture to make ends meet, you know, periodically. Another thing that's different for them is that they're far from their family. Some of their family is in Texas. Some is in, they used to be in, her parents used to be missionaries to Turkey, but now I think they're in Texas also. But they don't get a chance to visit them that much. Also, they move every few years to start new churches in different cities. So it's even hard for them to maintain friendships with people. The first few months in a new town, sometimes they're preaching just to their own family out in the park until enough people start coming to the church. The work is exciting for us, being that we're going there for the first time, but for them, I imagine it gets pretty routine, and they could use some encouragement. So if you can't go, it's good to support them in some way. They certainly deserve it. If you look in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. So we should pray for them, we should help support them, and a visit like this helps to give them some encouragement, you know, and support to continue in what they're doing. In Philemon verse 7, it says, for we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. So I hope we were able to do that for them. We know you guys were praying, because everything went perfectly smoothly, except a little tiny bit of sickness, but not horrible. There was very little opposition to the preaching. Only one time did they tell Eddie to move from where he was. And the Lord kept us safe. We were on some treacherous roads and some bad weather, and the Lord kept us safe. So thank you very much for your prayers.
Okay. So, I just want to thank God for allowing me to go on this trip, because it was amazing, and it was, like, it's a huge blessing for me, and I can't think of a better way that I could have been spending my time. And I also want to talk about what really impressed me on the trip. And the first thing was the street preaching. We went pretty much every day, like, the first week, and it was really cool. Like, the way they do it is they have someone who preaches, and whoever speaks the language, and they alternate. And then the rest of the people give out tracts, and then to the people that were listening to the preaching, they actually listen and sit down. You give them tracts when it's over. And they not only, like, actually take a tract, but they'll look at you and smile and say thank you, and it's, like, so weird because I'm used to being in New York City when you're, like, giving a big smile and you're like, here, did you get this? And they're like, ew. And they just, like, walk into your hand, pretend you're not there, and it's like, oh, ow. And it's, like, really discouraging. And but so that was a really good experience, to see people who actually wanted what you were giving them. And even if they didn't, they're still polite about it. The second thing that really impressed me was the church services that they have, which is outside. So if they get wet, you know, if they rain and they get wet, and they just sit there with umbrellas, and it's cold, and they bring blankets. So it's, like, really weird. I would have thought of, like, a million excuses not to go, but they just stay there. And you don't – everything is, like, an open meeting. Like, on Wednesday night, you have – the whole service is an open meeting, and then on Sunday, you have an open meeting and the preaching. And what was so cool is that no one had to be, like, forced to share something or, like, pressured into it, and they always were willing and eager to say, like, why they love God or whatever he put on their heart and blessed them with that week. So that was really cool. And everything that they talked about, it always came back to thanking God for their salvation. And, like, it's so, like, important to them, and it never gets old. And even though I couldn't understand all that they were saying, you could see, like, the sincerity because they spoke right from their hearts, which is really cool. And a lot of the times I'm, like, scared to speak in front of people or, like, scared in church. Like, when pastors, like, even when he says the word testimony, I start, like, sinking in my seat and, like, sweating. And I'm like, oh, I got to go to the bathroom. And it's, like, really bad because we should always have something to say, even if you're just thanking God for your salvation and then just sitting down. Like, he still likes to hear that. And so if you can turn to Psalm 111, verse 1 and 2. It says, praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. So there's always something to say about the Lord, that he's just amazing, and especially for your salvation. And the third thing that really impressed me was one day when we were preaching, I got really discouraged because some guys were, like, talking to me funny, and I was really, like, intimidated. So I kind of walked away and sat down and, like, stopped everything I was doing. And I was just, like, really discouraged. And as I was sitting there that same day, Rachel and Lauren, which is the missionary's daughter, they came back, like, panting and sweating, and they were all white and, like, they seen a ghost. And they told us that three Mexican guys were, like, yelling at them, probably saying, oh, hey, I love you. And then they actually... they started walking away, trying to ignore them, and they started chasing them. And she said it was, like, the scariest thing that ever happened to her because we didn't know what was going to happen, and we were in a market. And even though there was, like, a lot of people, it was still really scary. But they were able to lose them and come back. And it just happened that we didn't go preaching the next day, not for any reason, but we just couldn't go. But I asked my sister if she would have gone with us, and she said, definitely. So, like, I was, like, really impressed by her, but she didn't get discouraged at all, because you can't. When you're, like, doing something, you're not going to get things done if you're discouraged by the littlest thing. And that was, like, something that hit me really hard. Like, these guys are just talking to me, and I was, like, scared out of my mind, and she was chased. And so, yeah. So I learned that you can't be easily discouraged or dismayed. So in Deuteronomy chapter 31, says, and the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And that's one of my favorite verses, because it's just talking about how God, like, he's there before you even get there. So, like, when you're worried about something, he already figured it out, and he's already there helping you through it. And so you can't be afraid or anything because you have the best person, well, God, on your team. And so I was really impressed by this trip, and I really hope I get to go again. Thank you.
I had a little piece of paper that I had some stuff I wanted to say, but I think I kind of lost it with all my kids' stuff paper, so I'm just going to wing it here. But just basically what Lydia and Mrs. Keeley were saying, there were just a bunch of ways, and like I myself got a blessing in this trip. And what really stood out to me during this whole trip was just the fellowship and just being around different people, different Christians that there's other people out there. Like last year we went to Texas and Mexico, and Texas, I obviously understood what they were saying, and just to see other Christians still out there doing the work, it's just such an encouragement. Because sometimes you feel like you're here and you're in the lap of luxury and comfort, and you're just blind to all the stuff that's going around you. But when you're out there and you don't have all your luxury and your necessities, you start to see what's real, and you start to see how people really are. And so I have a couple of verses which is good. I just want to share in Psalms 133 verses 1. Says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." And just down there in Mexico, it's the second time, staying with the same family. It's just they're part of our secondary family, and just the unity that we had, everything, every decision that we made, we're all in agree with each other, and it was just a blessing to my heart, because just to know that there's other people out there, and just if you could keep them in prayer, as Kile said, they're living by faith and just supported fully by the church. Sometimes they can't meet their needs, but just keep them down there in prayer. And another thing that I saw was cool is last year they had open meetings, like Lydia was saying, and it's just out there in the open, and they're just going by faith. They invite whoever wants to come, and during as we go every day, we preached and we hand out tracts, and a lot of the people, their main concern was what religion are you guys, and where do you meet, and so we had a lot of opportunities just to get some people to come to the church. And so that's just step one of the thing. You just got to keep them in prayer. It's you're sowing a seed, and so you just got to pray for those people that we got to talk to. And even though me and Jason, our poor pronunciation and Spanish and stuff, we still made ourselves useful, handing out tracts. It was just a blessing. Just Lydia was saying, they're just so grateful and so friendly down there. It just makes you want to stay and where it's nice. But back here in New York, I don't know what you're gonna do. But Romans 12 9 through 16 says, where is it now? It says, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, and cleave to that which is good. Kindly affection one to another with brotherly love, and honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one to another. Mind not high things, but condescending to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit." And that just sums up the whole time down there. Just the pastor and his family, they were they felt the love, and they were, and just kindly affectionate to one another, and just to go out there and serve with them. And it's one of those time of my life. There's so much ways in which you could spend your money. We spent hundreds of dollars just to go down there. You could have got new clothes or whatever you guys spend your money on. But I feel that's the best way I've ever spent my money my whole entire life. Just to go down there and according to God's will, and just try to do a work down there. And I encourage any of you guys, all the missionaries, say, if you haven't been on a mission trip, just to go and just to see what it's like. I mean, I'm sure you won't come back empty-handed, and you'll just be blessed. My cup was just over, running. see these people, they have nothing, and then you come back, and you're like, and they're going preaching every day, and they're going, and like, what am I doing? I'm here. I have, like, I'm surrounded by like things I don't even deserve, and just by God's mercy. And so it just like pricked my heart, and like, what can I be doing more to like to serve God? And if there's ever a chance, like, I definitely want to go back or go to another missions trip, and I just encourage you guys to do the same. And not to be preaching at you guys or anything, but Hebrews 10. It's kind of cool being up here. Hebrews 10:24-25. Which says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And like we said, even though some of us couldn't speak Spanish, every day we would get up, we'd sit around the table, we have breakfast together, we pray, and we just go out there and just do as much as we could. And just that in itself, I felt, was just a blessing to me. And just to get to know Keeley family better, and Jason, it was just a great time I had. And I just thank God for it. And just one more thing, 1 Corinthians 1. Corinthians 1:26-27 says, For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are in the mighty. And I was reading that the other day, and it blessed my heart, because, like, you don't have to be strong to, like, go and do something for the Lord. Like, the Lord uses anybody and everybody, and so that's what really encourages me, because I know I could be like so much more, like I could have so much more knowledge of the Bible than I do right now. But I'm still grateful that the Lord's willing to use me, and if you just ask Him and like ask what the Lord's will be in your life, I'm sure He'll use you guys too. And it's just a blessing to be out there. And just to close with Luke 10:2. Verses 2 says, therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. And so I feel that, like, as a church, we could be praying more. I know we have a couple missionaries, but just as a church together, if we pray for the missionaries that we have, and we just pray that the Lord would use more people to go be missionaries to other places, I pray that, I mean, I'm sure that he'll hearken unto our call. And like, we just got to keep those in prayer, just keep the people down in Mexico in prayer, that they just keep sticking with the stuff, because they could get discouraged. It's easy to get discouraged when things aren't going your way. And just to keep the people in the Philippines in prayer, that they come home safe. And that's about it. I just want to thank the Lord.
I definitely didn't know any Spanish. Like, these guys had a leg up on me for sure. So I kind of just got to hang back and hand out a lot of tracts. It was a blessing to see another type of ministry. I've been to a couple other mission trips and seen quite a few different ministries in the last 3 years I've been saved. And I guess I particularly like this type. It's pretty it's bold, and these guys are really bold. They trust God's word, and they proclaim it. It's just really, really encouraging. I've just been exposed to a lot of just make friends first and then try to slip the gospel in. This is like a completely different, I guess, the gospel first. another thing I saw, I guess, kind of sitting back was, you can be just you can be as ineffective or as effective as you choose to be. It depends on how much you take heed to God's promises and commandments. Missionaries can be just as ineffective as we can here. You can have the same hang-ups like television, still television down there, still all the things of the world. They don't change when you go to a different country or something like that. We say they make so many sacrifices and time and money and energy. Well, we can make the same ones here. It's just if you want to keep some kind of level or standard of living like everybody else, the rest of the world does, you'll do that, and you might be less effective because of it. But I don't know how much it matters if you're in Mexico or in New York City. You're still an ambassador for Christ, and you're still to witness and everything everywhere you go with your life, and you're supposed to speak and testify what the Lord's done. Another thing was like the Catholic Church again. It's pretty sick. Some of the things we saw in the churches was an enormous mural of the disciples with Mary in the center, everyone looking up to her. Just really crazy. I guess the Mariolatry is the word. Is just so much greater there. And that just shows you the darkness that the Catholic Church keeps people in. That's one of the bad things about not reading your Bible. That's one of the consequences, is you're led astray. God's given us the truth and the light right here. You just have to open the book and find it, and it doesn't happen down there, I guess, for a bunch of reasons. But thank God that I don't have to kneel before a cookie and like I believe that that's Jesus Christ that I'm talking to, or think that I need to speak to some statue of Mary, or whichever one you want choose. There's tons of different Marys, none of them the one out of the Bible. Thank God that He's given me light, and I need to share that with the people that don't have it. So that's it.
Boy, is there an amen in this audience here or what? What's the matter? You guys sleeping out there? You know what the brother just said? Come on now. It's a tough crowd.
Good.
Wow. If we open your Bibles here, while I put this thing on, go to a favorite verse, of course, John 3:16. Two verses I have memorized, John 3:16 and Jesus wept, right? Shame on me. Just to reiterate what was just said before we take a look at a couple of verses, John and Karen Castillo are missionaries from Brother Lyndall Kincaid's church in San Antonio. Okay, they've been in Mexico 14 years. 14 years. How about that? All right. And they're presently living in Toluca, which is a city about an hour away from Mexico City. So we got off the plane, got on a bus, and went to his house. If you'll recall, Toluca is where Bill Kincaid, Lyndall Kincaid's son, and Mike Jackson ran into problems with the government, the Mexican government, over preaching. And through some kind of loophole, as a result of that, the government was able to export them out of the country. If you're interested in that, you can see it in YouTube. Just do Toluca Street Preacher, and you'll see the whole thing just play out before you, how the government takes them away. All right. Bill Kincaid had been a missionary in Mexico for almost 30 years, most of his life. And Bill Kincaid, Lindell's son, was clearly instrumental in establishing over 20 churches in Mexico. 20 churches. And leading countless numbers of people to Christ, souls to Christ. So praise the Lord for that. And you know what? The work continues. The work continues. All right. John thinks he wasn't deported because of the color of his skin. John's brown skin. Even though he's not a national, apparently the authorities thought he was Mexican, and they've let him go. But we know it's the Lord taking care of that. All right? The Lord's taking care of that. I met John 4 years ago here. You probably remember him. Husky guy. He came with his wife. He came with a group of other brothers from San Antonio. And we did street preaching with them. We got along right away, and we became friends. All right? Everybody from down there is real friendly. Troy included, right? And last year when I went on the missionary conference, he's just very quiet. Troy's very quiet. John's not quiet. last year when I went down for the missionary conference with Pastor Joe and Justin, I stayed at John's house. And I said, John, wouldn't it be great if I could bring my wife, my kids, bring some other people from the church? He said, brother, that'd be great. He says, brother, nobody's ever done that before. You listening? He says, no one's ever done that before. Come with his family, spend time with us. Boy, that'd be great, brother. You know, and that's exactly what we did. You know, that's exactly what we did. I praise God for it. John 3:16, 3:17 says here, John 3, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent, the word is sent there. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God sent. That means the first missionary to the world is Jesus Christ. Amen? And accordingly, I mean, after that, he ended up sending his apostles, right? The Great Commission is Mark 16:15, and it's all over the place. He said unto them, go ye into all the world, right? And preach the gospel to every creature. And clearly we should do the same. And clearly we've done the same here. Praise the Lord. As we speak, we have people in the Philippines. We just came from Mexico, and we support other missionaries too. But you should go too. You should go too. It's safe. Look, my wife came along. It's safe. Right? She's back in one piece. Right? All right. Even though she was counting the toilet paper, right? I thought it was a vacation, sweetie. I don't know what you're talking about. Romans 10:14-15 says, you want the Lord to bless your feet? You having problems with your feet? Romans 10:14-15 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? There's the word, sent, sent, as is written. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Amen, amen, amen. All right. Obviously, when you leave this church, when you exit this church, there's an exit sign, you're in the mission field. Especially this is true in New York City. There's people from all over the world here. Even here on Staten Island, all over the world. All right, but we also have to go to the othermost. And so we need to be sent. Maybe you ought to be sent. All right? My goals on this mission trip were real simple. What I wanted to do was exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Simple, right? And I wanted to exhort John, encourage John, edify John in every way I could. And the missionaries there and our Mexican family. Because I met our Mexican family last year, and I wanted to come back this year. And praise the Lord, that's exactly what happened. We stayed almost 2 weeks there. I'm going to show you some pictures in a second, then we'll preach a little more. The first week was in Toluca, and then we spent 3 days with John and Karen at the beach, and then the last 2 days we joined the Saints in Morelia. All right? In Toluca, we daily went street preaching downtown. All right? That's San Antonio style, and that's something we caught on to also, which is good. All right? Unlike here, the response there was terrific, as Lydia said. All right? Here, when you do street preaching, people, because they're so full of themselves, so caught up in sin, right? They treat you like you don't exist, right? They pass you right by. There, at least, there's some residue of a fear of God in that culture, be it Mariolatry, which is unfortunately a mess, be it Roman Catholicism, there's a fear of God still there, still a residue of it. So people give you the courtesy to look at you when you're preaching, to stop and listen. Unfortunately, this society has lost it. Even though we demand that God bless America, how can God bless a country that doesn't live according to his word? Doesn't even have a residue of fear. Think about that. All right. Midweek, we had a service in a local park. That's the way they do it down there, as all the other churches do also. All 20 churches meet in local parks, outdoors. It's a no-frills ministry. And this is by design. They meet outdoors. Now, I know it would be hard to do that here. I thank God for the building we have. But they didn't want money, the cost of rent, to become an obstacle. All right? They didn't want the Christians down there to make their focal point a building. All right? There are no frills kind of Christianity. So instead, what they preach there is, as long as you've got the Holy Spirit within you, you have a Bible in hand, it can get a little noisy because you got traffic round about, you got people walking through as you're trying to do your service. It can get a little noisy, but you know what? They can handle it. They managed. And I was really encouraged by that. All right? It's a no-frills kind of ministry. I like that. It even rains in Toluca during the service. You know what they do? They open the umbrella. And then when it stops raining, they close the umbrella. Nobody leaves. They keep preaching. There's 40 souls now that are saved in Toluca as a result of this ministry. I'll show you a picture of the church there. Saints, just like we are, believers in Jesus Christ, except they speak Spanish. Right? And their food's a little more spicy, that's all. All right? Praise the Lord. Besides meeting outdoors, what was different in Toluca from what we do here, and I want to underline this one, is the frequency of open meetings. I'm sold on the open meeting. I was sold from last year. I'm convinced of it here. The open meeting, this is by design. Every time they meet, they have an open meeting, which means it's very different from what we're doing right here now, which is someone's talking and everybody else is just passive. That's like what we do when we watch TV. All right? It's very, very different. Now, we do open meetings here when we break bread every other month or so you have a taste of what that is. But there, it's every time they meet, and they do the same thing in San Antonio, every time they meet, they have an open meeting. And people are expected, and as a result, more likely to participate. All right? It's a 10-minute thing at max. What people do is they open up their Bible, and whatever the Lord laid on their heart, they share. It's not a production. It's a beautiful thing. And I'm praying to God that we could do more of that here in this church. Get out of this passive mode where we just sit there. Get out of this fear mode where we feel it's got to be a production, that unless we say something so deep and so long that we shouldn't speak, that's nonsense. That's of the flesh. All right? No one went on and on and on. It wasn't out of control. The Spirit of God was in control. And the book was there as the guide. It was a beautiful thing. If you haven't gone on a missionary trip yet, I'll say it again. You ought to go. Lord willing, I'm going back next year. I want to go again. I want to keep going for a longer time, maybe. All right, it's a great thing. You ought to go. So let's take a look at some pictures, and then I'll have a final word. All right, Chris is going to help me out with this. The lights are going to go out. Don't fall asleep now, all right? Pay attention. Yeah. Lights. I'll just narrate a little bit as we go. I don't think it's really necessary. Okay, so question. Are these beautiful feet? Those are Jason's feet. You know what? They are beautiful. They are beautiful. All right, Toluca. Here's Toluca, Mexico. Very congested. All right, typical Mexican town. Mexican city, I should say. Go ahead, brother. This is where we preach, downtown. We preach downtown, surrounded by the cathedral and all kinds of works related to the cathedral. Open air is where we preached. Go ahead. That's a Catholic church. That is the predominant religion. Much like on Staten Island. All right. So now we're going mini. I guess this is a glitch, huh?
We don't want to see Lydia everywhere.
Boy, is this going to happen often? Okay, there we go. Okay, this is Lauren, who's John Castillo's daughter, and she's got a track in hand. And this is the square over here, surrounded by buildings, beautiful buildings, very colonial Spanish kind of look, and people walking by, busy, yet they're willing to stop, take a track. Go ahead. Okay, there's John, street preaching in downtown Toluca. This was, again, in the center of it all. The cathedral would be where I am, right here. There's Joe in the background. And again, you'll have people in the perimeter having lunch, just like in downtown, people having lunch during their lunch break, and John just preaching away. Here's me. I had an opportunity to preach, even with my broken Spanish. Some people actually understood. Praise the Lord. There's some crazy Mexicans that we met down there. This is Steve Kincaid, to the side of Jason, Bill Kincaid's son. Steve Kincaid cannot be deported from Mexico because Steve Kincaid was born in Mexico. He is a national, so he has the right to preach, to assemble, to do all these things. So that loophole does not apply to him. This is Steve's house. He was kind enough to open up the house to us, so we were up here. That's just a typical house in Toluca. All right, not too poor, not too rich, just right to fit a family. This is John's house, which is about a half hour away because of the train and all that stuff. There's a lot of business going on in the street, so it took a while to get to John's house. Ordinarily, you could jog from John's house to, I should say Jason can jog from John's to Steve's house. How long did it take you, Jason, when you jogged? 15-minute jog. All right, so it'd probably take me and you about 3 hours to get there if we jogged. We were available. This was not a surge where we said, John, you got to keep us busy. We said, John, whatever you want us to do, and we'll help you. And here's Joe on poop duty. John's dogs used that grass there, and John said, hey, if you could help me do this, it would be great, brother. So Joe very kindly did so. All right, Joe on poop duty there. All right. And there's Jason. I think Jason is exhorting Joe. Yeah. And here's Jason weed whacking. They have weed whackers there, too. It's a great thing. Right across the street from John's house is a power station. See all these power lines here? You could hear these transformers buzzing all night long. All right. I think we're all still glowing from that. Yeah, this was downtime. We had plenty of downtime to relax. This is Lauren, became a good friend of Lydia, and we're just playing cards here, having fun. That's inside of John's house. Look, he has a couch. Look, he has a lazy boy. He has a TV. Look at that, all these things. He's a regular guy on the mission field, except he's not living high on the hog, but he's doing okay, relatively speaking. Downtown, on one day, we started singing in the plaza. We sang in English, and they did a song in Spanish. Very pretty place. This is in the center of two aisles there, where people, there are all kinds of stores, people passing by. It certainly was an attraction, if not a distraction, and they stopped and listened, and then we preached after that. Here's Steve Kincaid preaching. He joins John every day. I spoke to John yesterday. Every day they go out. When we were there, they did not go out every single day, but every day they go out, either they go to town in the morning, and then they go to the neighborhoods, the suburbs of this city during the evening, early evening. Lydia giving out tracts there. John preaching. A lot of this stuff all over the place. Not so much cross-eyed Jesus dolls, but a lot of this stuff all over the place. Religious articles everywhere, flooded. The city is flooded with images. and a lot of this stuff, the image of mother and child, where the mother's in control, even though the Jesus looks like, in many of them, he looks like a midget man on her lap, so she's in control. That's what the symbolism shows you. And it's just a picture of some very old lady selling fruit. Here is midweek service. So this is the park across the street from that quadrant that I told you about. And so we would sit on the wall. Some of us would have chairs. And there they are. The way it works is there'd be an open service. On Wednesday, they always do the Lord's table. So there's an open service. The focus is like we have here, to thank the Lord for what he did for us, a remembrance. And then they have the Lord's table, and then there's an open service again, which could be any scriptural topic that the Lord's laid on your heart. Go ahead, brother. Here's just John discussing with one of the brothers there a question. They also, here's a lady who comes from way up in the hills. She's a grandmother of a family that meets her there, and she's saved. She knows the Lord Jesus Christ. It's never too late to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. She went from Mariolatry, deep in Catholicism, superstition, to now worshiping the living God. Praise the Lord for that. Now here's just showing you the area where we meet. The parks are very pretty there. The weather certainly facilitates meeting outdoors. Again, just to show you just what the area is like where we would do. There we go, some buddies together. Here is inside a mall in Toluca. They have malls just like we do. In fact, they have 4 Walmarts, a mall that's about 5 times the size of the Staten Island Mall. They have all kinds of commerce there. They're having a boom there. And we had the opportunity here inside a small mall in an amphitheater here to do a little street preach. Unfortunately, some guys came around, very respectful though, government guys. They waited me to stop preaching, and then they asked me to please go somewhere else, somewhere where it was more public, less private, because this area is a common area to a number of businesses. And here's some Christians who stopped to exhort us, thanking us for what we were doing. And you get that a lot in New York City too. This is door to door. What we would do is we'd knock on the doors on a block, both sides. We'd work both sides. We'd tell them we're going to do some preaching now. And they do this in San Antonio too. I don't know if it would work here. We're going to do some preaching now. If you're interested, please come by your window or come outside. I would say, let's say 100 doors we knocked on, let's say about out of those, maybe 30 people, 30% of the people came out of the doors we knocked on. All right, and those who were leaving would even apologize. I'm sorry, I can't listen right now. We have to go somewhere. Very courteous. And here we had an opportunity. John had a really good time with these two ladies here, questions about Christianity. This lady here was a Seventh-day Adventist, and she was very proud, telling me, how she keeps Sabbath, how she doesn't eat pork, et cetera, et cetera. And then I was just trying to show her that we're no longer under the law. So here's a person who is probably saved but still in bondage to the law. And here's Rachel with some tracks, just happy. A lot of this stuff, there's all kinds of shrines all over the place with statues of Mary in it. Pretty much like you'll see in some of these neighborhoods here too. Sunday morning service, again, there is about 40 people there. Bible's open. Everybody brought their own Bible. Just exhorting, amen, witness. It's just a pleasure to be there. And they gave me an opportunity to preach on Sunday. This is your family in Toluca. All right, brothers and sisters in Christ. That's John has been there 6 years. That's the fruit of 6 years of labor, day in and day out. Street preaching, giving out tracts, and of course having Bible studies too. The goal is when you street preach is to invite somebody to a Bible study, or if they would allow you into their house to carry on a Bible study. This is the guy who had come on Thursday right there. His name is Jose. He was listening to everything I was saying, and that's the way we do it. We'd street preach, and we'd look to see who's listening. I came over to him. He had a bunch of questions, not saved, but he had given me his word that he would come on Sunday, and he did. And right away, he got in the picture, and now I've set up some kind of email thing with him. His name is Jose. Please pray for him. Go ahead, brother. We had a picnic, church picnic after that. Great time in a local park, just so you could just see basically the architecture of the buildings around, just what it's like there in Toluca. Because a lot of us, when we hear mission field, it's not all in the jungle. All right, I have yet to go in the jungle, in fact, on a missionary trip, and I've been to about 5 missionary trips. Just playing some soccer, hanging out. All right, we had to pack Jason in the car there. Poor Jason. And then we spent 3 days at a beach in Trocones. We brought John along. We treated him completely. There's John and his wife having a good time and just relaxing with us. It was great to see John relax, even though he finds it very easy to relax. I mean, he's not an uptight guy in any way or form. Just the beach, just quick scenes from the beach. Very pretty. Okay, back in Morelia, where the other work is in Mexico, this is very odd. There was a guy, he was panhandling, but he was doing the flamethrowing thing to get his 5 pesos. So Jason took a picture of that. Good introduction to Morelia. Morelia is a lot more picturesque than Toluca. It's in fact, it's the pride of Mexico, Morelia. It has a lot of this Spanish colonial stuff everywhere, and beautiful gardens just everywhere. Okay. And, of course, steeped in, you know, imagery, steeped in Catholicism, as Jason depicted here. Again, all over the place. Some guys came by doing some music. All right, these are the saints gathering in his name in Morelia. And, it's just brothers and sisters in Christ, Morelia. Bible-believing Christians in Mexico. Praise this, Steve witnessing, Steve preaching. And here's the family right there. The group of Morelia is a little bit smaller, and there were some people missing that evening, too. We spent the night at the central guy here at Brother Oswaldo's house. He opened up his house to us. He went and slept somewhere else. He was very, very gracious, very hospitable. And that's just the way the Mexicans are. Here's just a picture of a little boy. Pepe is the official name that Joe now has. For some reason, Joe translates, or they nickname Joe's Pepe. So we call Joe Pepe from now on. And we have to end it with the feet, too. What was funny about this is that it says, please don't put your feet up on the wall. And, of course, Jason's obeying the civil authorities there. All right. Amen. That's it. Thank you, brother. Okay, just a final word before I let you go. A final word on street preaching. You know, it's great. It's great to go to places where everybody's just like receptive. You know, and it could be a plus going there, like my wife says, and you come back and you're emboldened. It could be a negative too, because you kind of expect that, and when you come back here and they let you down, you get discouraged too. But you know what? No matter what, I am convinced, I am sold on street preaching. Street preaching and the open meeting is what makes that church so alive. Of course, because of the Holy Spirit of God. And I am convinced on street preaching. So whether they accept it or not, I'm convinced on street preaching. And it's simple. As long as you got God's Holy Spirit within you, God's book in hand, you don't need to be afraid of man. I used to think it was street preaching, well, it's not for this culture, blah, 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 blah. I used to come up with all kinds of excuses against street preaching. And I'd see myself through the eyes of man instead of through the eyes of Christ. Street preaching and the open meeting is the difference, is what makes this place alive, and I want this place to be alive too. More alive than it is now, okay? And look, I'm the biggest chicken out there, all right? And if I could do it, you could do it too. And street preaching doesn't necessarily mean that you have to preach on the street. It could mean giving out tracts. It could mean just standing and occupying with us. But there's something about being there, and I know what it is. It's following God's word. It's trusting that God's word will not return void. All right? It's being emboldened by God's spirit, not your flesh, not your personality. All right? And seeing God do his work. And you need to join us. You need to join us. If you haven't done that, you need to join us. We do it on Saturdays. There's two places you can go on Saturday. Typically, Pastor goes to Manhattan. Typically, I go to Port Richmond. In fact, that will be my focus from now on, which will be to Port Richmond to the Mexicans there. All right? So you're welcome to come along. It is not an ordeal. Don't let Satan dupe you, keep you from doing something like this. And yes, I know, there are many other ministries, absolutely, and you should be part of them all. But I really want to exhort you, encourage you, come and join us in the street preaching. And also, I want to put a plug in for the open meeting, which I believe Pastor sold on too. I want to do more of that. All right, let's have a word of prayer, thanking the Lord for tonight. Also, let's pray for the brother. He needs Journey Mercies. He's going away on vacation. Let's pray him up and anything else. Father, thank you so much. Thank you that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, was the first missionary. Thank you so much for sending him. Father, I'm convinced love demands action. And I thank you so much that you sent your Son in love for our sake, Lord. And Father, I just pray that we would just take the message to heart. Father, I pray that we would continue to grow through thy word, through thy spirit, Lord God. Father, just move us to do something, Lord, more than what we're doing, to get out of our comfort zones. And Father, I just pray for John Castillo and all the missionaries, for Manny Serrano, all the missionaries, Lord God, that we continue to support them in prayer and we dig into our pockets to help them out, Lord. And Father, I pray for my brother, for Journey Mercies, for his wife and his child, Lord, just bring them back safely. Bring them there and back safely. May they have a good time. In Jesus' name, amen. Make sure you say hello to Mike Catalano.